questions afterwards. So our next speaker is Dina Brandsetter. She's Vice President, Nutrition and Wellness, Compass Group USA.
Good morning. I'm delighted to be here also. This is very exciting. For those of you who don't know, Compass Group is not a recognizable name the way Unilever and Campbell's probably is. But Compass Group is, there we go, okay. So I want to introduce Compass Group to you very briefly. We're the world's leading food service and support services organization, UK-based company, but in 60-some-plus countries globally right now. As I said, we do food service. We provide meals to a huge number of people every day. As you can see from this, 80,000 locations, 2.5 billion meals per year. And it's interesting because we have varying degrees of price elasticity. We have what we would call our captive audiences, and that means literally captive audiences, prisoners, folks working on offshore oil rigs who really aren't very price sensitive at all. Flip side of it is we do have a lot of corporate dining, schools and colleges, where there is quite a bit of price sensitivity. So from the standpoint of the value proposition and for affordable and nutritious foods for all, I think the thing that we've seen is that value is not equal to price. We see that value to the consumer is price plus something else. And this something else can take the form, it's usually involves taste. Quite often it's convenience. It can be quantity. Particularly in developed countries in the Western world, we see huge amount of value being put on quantity of food rather than quality of food. Preparation time, skills, that something else can include quite a number of factors, so it's not just about price. I'm a registered dietitian. I've been one for a long time, and dietitians are very fond of cliches when they talk about affordable and nutritious food, things like shop the perimeter and only buy nutrient-dense whole foods, and restaurants and food service should only use raw ingredients, not processed foods to start with. Well, there are a number of issues with this. I think affordable and nutritious food requires a number of things. One, it requires knowledge. And these factors pertain not only to the food service and restaurant industry, but also to consumers who are trying to prepare affordable and nutritious foods on their own. It requires knowledge, knowledge of purchasing, knowledge of menu planning, how to put foods together into a menu that makes sense from a nutrition standpoint. It requires time. And that's something that we have less and less of, both consumers and the food service industry, as we try to get by with less labor. It requires skill. And not only from a culinary standpoint, in both food service and at home, it requires some skills. It requires the ability to use a knife. I have a friend who works for one of the top QSR chains. And when you think about QSR, meaning quick service restaurants, fast food, when you think about who's working in those locations, at one point in time he said, I'm not sure I want my 16 and 17-year-old workers handling big knives. From a skill standpoint, it's a challenge. Cooking techniques, they need to know how to prepare foods in a healthful way. Space is a big issue that we face more in the food service or restaurant sector versus consumers, although I would make a point that in the Western world, we do a lot of spectator cooking. I know a lot of people who have big fancy kitchens that have never been used. They look at them. They look at their Viking range and, eight burner, 3,500 BTU burners, but they don't know how to use them. So we have a lot of that going on. In the food service, particularly the type of business that we're in, when you think about corporate dining or even in schools, kitchen space is valuable real estate. And for companies that calculate productivity per square foot of their locations, or for schools that need a couple extra classrooms, it's very easy to make a case for commandeering that kitchen space and then not having the appropriate kitchen facilities. Equipment is another big challenge. We've kind of moved from the idea of cooking to retherming or reheating food, microwaving, if you will. And some of the CSR, the sustainability, the green elements play in here. If I can go back, since we've talked about soup today, and use the soup example very briefly, a steam jacketed kettle, which is the typical piece of equipment you would use to produce soup from scratch in a food service operation, is one of the most energy and water intensive pieces of equipment that there is today. So huge on the energy and water use standpoint. So I think we need to look at a continuum that can address all of these different factors. Going back to the soup example, you might have individual consumers or food service locations that have the ability to make soup from scratch, brown the bones, chop the vegetables, put it all together. On the other hand, you might have another location, another consumer, who would need to do what we call speed scratch. So they might have to buy the vegetables pre-cut. They might have to use a soup base rather than browning bones. And at the other end of the continuum, you might need to buy that can of Campbell's soup. But the point is that along that entire continuum, hopefully everything would be affordable and nutritious. And then finally, the last thought I'd like to leave you with is that there is a huge amount of consumer confusion right now over what's healthy. These are some of the questions that we get, that we hear them asking all the time. What is really nutritious? This idea that healthy food is automatically too expensive. The different front-of-pack labeling systems, the good-for-you marks, they're confused by that. And then finally, how do foods that are labeled healthy, that are labeled nutritious, or scored nutritious, how do they fit into my overall diet? So when you look at an individual food versus a total meal pattern. So the question I'd like to leave you with is, how do we shift this consumer value proposition from one of quantity to quality? And how can government, academia, industry, and public health support the idea of nutritious food for all, taking into account convenience, taste, and an affordable price? Thank you.